So, Lauren Daigle rebrands image as non-Christian artist.
Yeah! What?
Lauren Daigle, bro, has done more for the kingdom in a year than you will do in 5 lifetimes. I'm sorry.
Another one bites the dust. Another one bites the dust. And another one down, and another one down. Another one bites the dust. Hey, hey, I'm gonna get you too. Another one bites the dust.
You should just be celebrating, like, thank you, we love you. If you're not, then shut up.
Another one bites the dust. Another one bites the dust. And another one down, and another one down. Another one bites the dust. Hey, I'm gonna get you too. Another one bites the dust. Another one bites the dust.
This here from Pulpit and Pen. Daigle recently arrived seductively on Ellen's program and then claimed she didn't know enough about the Bible to say whether or not homosexuality was a sin. Andy Stanley, by the way, is her pastor, so that makes sense. In spite of that, Charisma News, comedian John Crist, and many others have come out to support her as well-meaning but innocently ignorant believer. Now, Daigle says that she's not really a Christian star after all. She's repositioning herself as a mainstream star, predictably. According to Reformation Charlotte, amid the controversy in her celebrity life, she's now facing the reality of the consequences of her influence. She was recently interviewed on 104.3 MYFM, where she was asked if she considered herself to be a Christian artist. Quote, I feel like those labels get put on you by other people. I was reading articles, I read them here and there, and one of them said Christian artist, and the other one said just artist. But I think of me as just an artist because it encompasses everything. That's kind of how I see myself. Well, I hate to say I told you so, but I told you so. And you're listening to The Truth Stands from Charlotte, North Carolina. Say, you can taste a lie all over the world, but the truth, it stands where it stands. And we're taking a stand here in Charlotte, North Carolina. I am in the glorious Truth Stands studio, and I'm behind the platinum blue microphone as always. I'm in front of the Dell Inspiron, whatever. Flanking me to my left is the always trusty, always reliable Samsung Galaxy Tab S4, and to my right on airplane mode is the Pixel 2 XL, and I have an exciting show. If you listen to that intro, you know where I'm going by the end of the show. We're going to get to Lauren Daigle at the end, and you're going to hear the Truth Stands official response to Lauren Daigle going to the other side, doing what Jars of Clay, Skillet, POD, Lecrae, you name it, if the world said that they were good, if the world said that they were wonderful, they went to the world. That's the way it goes. I'm not saying these people aren't Christians. I'm not going to do that. That's for the Lord to judge. But I will say this, that they no longer want to be known as Christian artists because they got so much more to accomplish in this world. They want a bigger audience. They want all these other things. We're going to talk about that at the end of the show. But what I really want to get to here is a rundown of what we're going to talk about today. Quote, Doctor Strange director. That would be the movie for those of you who go to movies and watch Marvel movies. Doctor Strange director. Quote, Christians are the core problem in America. Planned Parenthood. President makes it clear that abortion is their core mission. Persecution.org. Pakistani Christians fear new security mandate may lead to church closures, and also their children are facing persecution in school. Hmong Christians in Vietnam repeatedly beaten and arrested. And I think that's Hmong, that's H-M-O-N-G. I think that's Hmong. But they're facing persecution. Also, did you know that there are quotas to arrest Christians? Yes, there are quotas to arrest Christians. That is astounding and that is incredible. And we're going to read about that. Christians face mounting persecution in Pakistan. And once again, another believer, faith cost them their family in Algeria. I'm going to read to you about that article. But first, let me start off by saying this. Why do I do this show? What is my real, true mission for doing this show? Is it to become the Rush Limbaugh of Christian podcasting? No. Is it so that I can quit my soul-crushing 9-to-5 job? Well, if the Lord blesses it where I can do that, great. But no, that's not why I'm doing it either. Because if I wanted to do that, I would just seriously talk about politics all the time. Okay? Why am I doing this? It's because I see the church. I see what the devil has been up to. I see what he's been doing for a very, very long time. And now you're seeing the fruit of it coming out more and more and more. And my question is always, what does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to be a Christian in this reality? So that's why I read articles. I read probably more verbiage in the article than I probably should. You probably want me just to summarize everything, and I do that. But I read these articles because you need to hear this stuff. Because I want you to think about your own profession of faith. And I want you to not only measure it, of course, against Christ, because that's who the great measure is. But I want you to think about the things that you consider to be issues, the things that you struggle with. What is it that you are willing to do to be a Christian? What cost are you willing to pay? I also do this because I want you to have context for understanding the faith. Because so many Christians in this sphere, in this country, do not understand what it really means to be a Christian, what it really means to be set apart for Christ, what it really means to honor the Lord, what it really means to be separated unto him. This is how you get all of this false teaching. This is how you get all of the Lauren Daigles and the Lecraes and all these people selling out to the world because they think Christianity is something different than what is stated in Scripture. That's why I do this show. That's why I'm passionate, because it breaks my heart to watch the profession of faith. Because you know who sees this? The world. And the world says, okay, well, that's a Christianity I can get behind. But that is the stuff that leads to apostasy. That's the stuff that leads to death. What does it cost to be a Christian? Well, this man in Algeria knows, and this is from Morningstar News. A 32-year-old convert in Algeria has not seen much of his two young daughters since his wife divorced him and charged him with undermining Islam more than 2 years ago. Ahmed Behai, well, he's changed his name now, but that's his real name. Well, actually, that's his changed name. Has legal rights to visit his daughters ages 4 and 6, but his wife's family keeps them away from him. They began blocking him from seeing his daughters and pressuring his wife to divorce him when the Algerian police declined to arrest him in 2017. Quote, they took my two daughters to prevent me from seeing them. Whenever I ask to see my daughters in accordance with the rights granted by the judge, my wife's brothers created impediments and threatened me. His wife had agreed to become a Christian 3 months after he converted in 2013. Of all the things he withstood since then, death threats, job loss, criminal charges, and a night in jail, his wife turning against him pains him the most. And that right there, that's all I really need to read. What did Jesus say? But I come not to bring peace, but I come to bring a sword. I've come to set a household against each other. Father against mother. Wife against husband. That's what it costs to be a Christian. I did a story about a Ugandan man who lost even more than that to become a Christian. That's the type of faith that saving faith gets you. That's what it means for the blood of Jesus to have cleansed you. That's what it means to have been convicted of sin, righteousness, and of judgment. That's what it means to be truly converted in your heart and in your soul. I'm reminded of when Saul of Tarsus was converted on the road to Damascus. He seen the Lord, and that completely changed him, and he became completely separated unto him. Ask yourself this question. How many Christians who make the profession of faith, are they really truly separated unto him? Christians face mounting persecution and discrimination in Pakistani schools. This is from persecution.org, and I have a couple articles from persecution.org. Discrimination on religious grounds is very common in Pakistan. Christians and other minorities face discrimination in many facets throughout the country. Educational institutions are no exception. This has caused discrimination against both Christian students and teachers in Pakistan schools to become almost a common practice. Recently, a fourth grader named Sharjia Mashi was beaten and suspended from his government primary school in Attock District for touching the school's water tap. Now, wait a minute. This guy touched the school's water tap. Why should he have been beaten, this fourth grader, for that? In America, there used to be a time where blacks could not drink from the same water fountain as whites. Sounds kind of familiar, doesn't it? And then, this is the child when asked what happened. He says, I was just trying to turn off a running tap when the teacher grabbed me, called me Chura or Churha, C-H-U-R-H-A. That's a derogatory term for Christians in Pakistan, meaning that you're nothing more than someone that's worth picking up people's garbage. It is the equivalent of the N-word in America. I was just trying to turn off the running tap when the teacher grabbed me, called me Chura, and asked me why I had touched the tap and made it filthy. So in their world, these people are filthy animals, and by touching it, he has defiled it. This tap is not from the country of from your mother, she said before abusing me. I had to sit outside the school for 5 hours. Following the assault, Sharjil was suspended from school. The next day, Sharjil and his mother returned to the school to apologize for any mistake he had committed. Quote, she, Nursat Shaheen, asked me to grab her feet for the mistake of my son. Actually, it said, asked me to grab her feet for the mistake of my son and threatened that her brother, a police officer, would sell my younger daughter to a brothel. The incident was reported to Pakistan's Federal Minister of Human Rights, who took immediate action and had Nursat Shaheen suspended. Mazari tweeted that this case involved horrific discrimination against a child and that even one such case is one too many. Now, you see that a lot in this world. At least in this case, an administrator actually did something about it. But as you have anyone who's been following the Truth Stand for a long time, whether I was on the EPRN network or the Resilient Christian Network or on my own platform, you know that I have read to you article after article about how these people are treated as second-class citizens in these countries. And the country, while saying that they protect the rights of religious freedom and expression, do very little, such as in Nigeria with the Boko Haram. The Nigerian government hasn't done a thing about that, and they probably never will. Neither has the U.S. federal government. But let's move on. Pakistani Christians fear new security mandate may lead to church closures. On January the 2nd, the government of the Punjab province in Pakistan mandated that churches comply with set security standards by March 31st or face possible foreclosure. Pakistani Christians fear this will lead to the closure of many churches across the country. With less than 3 months, many churches will struggle to meet standards set by the provincial government due to widespread discrimination. Christians are forced to exist on the lowest rung of Pakistani's social and economic ladder. Church leaders fear their communities will be unable to provide funding to pay for the new security updates. In addition to this economic constraint, is the fact that the government has yet to define the minimum security requirements for a church. Many churches are now looking to install metal detectors, CCTV cameras, and training volunteer security staff to try to meet the new security mandate. That's how this works in these countries. It's happening in China all the time as well, where what they're doing is that they are purposefully implementing laws that they know that these poor churches cannot meet. So they could then close them down and say it's justified, because that's the point of doing what they're doing. They are trying to shut down Christian churches, and they're trying to do it in all sorts of ways. They allow rebel gangs, rebel militias to kill Christians or to burn churches, to harass Christians, go all over the place. I just talked to you last podcast about how 100 Iraqi Christians were arrested. Iranian Christians, they were arrested just because. That's how it works in these countries. And you want to complain about America? You want to claim you're racially discriminated against? You want to pretend as if somehow what's going on here is that bad? My God. But why am I talking to Christians in this country about this stuff now? Because this is the reality that's coming over here. This is what's coming over here, people. You have to understand that. Did you know that there are quotas that Chinese police now have to meet in arresting Christians? This here is from a website called Bitter Winter. That's BITTERWINTER.org. Bitter Winter. The National Security Bureau in this city in China that I cannot even pronounce, has set quotas of arrested believers for local police stations as a part of their work assessment plan. In September, the police station where the officer, and this officer is someone that they're quoting for the article, works, received a new quarterly performance assessment plan that features particular requirements on the number of arrested believers issued by the National Security Bureau, such as such plans have been distributed to all police stations in the city, according to the officer. The assessment is based upon a 100-point evaluation system with specific scores assigned for each arrested believer, depending on his or her faith. The highest scores are given to the most persecuted religious movements, such as the Falun Gong, the Church of the Almighty God. If the assigned quarterly arrest quotas are not met, the station chief faces losing his job. To fulfill the quotas, police stations distributed a list of previously arrested believers to local communities and building managers to keep an eye on such persons and report to the police if they notice suspicious activities. The officer admitted that he is not willing to arrest innocent believers, but he fears consequences from his superiors. According to him, when a police station is failing to achieve their quotas, officers often buy the names of arrested believers from the police stations that have produced superfluous results. The going rate for a person is 500 RMB or 70 US dollars. Well, let's see. Judas betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. So the going rate for Christians now is 70 US dollars. Well, at least we're worth more now. The officer said that since this October, the city's National Security Brigade, together with the police and local communities, started implementing a campaign primarily targeting the religious movements that have been put on the list. and you want to talk about racial discrimination in America? You want to talk about, oh, blacks are being hunted down like dogs. Oh, really? Where's your evidence? We got plenty of evidence over here in China. Remember how I've talked about in previous podcasts, particularly I believe it's podcast number 4, about China's cracking down on the Christian church? This is another way they're doing it. And they're using the government to do so. And do you not think that these people want to use the government to crack down on Christianity? One of the major things atheists do in this country is that they use the government to crack down on religious freedom and expression. How many articles do I have to read to show you just how much the government is used in this country to quell freedom of expression and Christian liberties? And you don't think that's coming over here, people? Be aware, Christian. Be aware. Be aware. Speaking of awareness, we gotta take a break. You are listening to The Truth Stand. What does the number $5,450 mean to you?
The Joel Osteen Remix, baby!
Well, if you want to sit on the fourth floor of the next great Joel Osteen spiritual revival that's in Sunrise, Florida on February the 8th, well, that's how much it's going to cost you, $5,450. And of course, this is all for the glory of the Lord. This is all for his righteousness and his glory. Now, for those of you who do not have great faith, or you may have little faith, for you peasants who do not know how to trust God and believe God for money because your faith is weak and your faith is low and you are just a weak, simple-minded, lazy Christian who don't know how to pray and thank God for great blessings like Joel Osteen. For you peasants, well, we have tickets that are affordable for you too. How about $369 for row D on the fourth floor? What about $324 for section 133, row 17? What about $319? And for you very poor and you very derelict, $270 to hear the greatest intercler, the greatest orator, the greatest spiritual giant that has ever been, Joel Osteen. What a heretic.
It's pure evil!
What do you think is the future of the church in the United States?
Sad to say, there's counterfeit Christianity. People don't counterfeit brown paper and sticks. They counterfeit what's true. They counterfeit what's valuable. So wherever the truth is, look for most counterfeits to be surrounding the truth. There are all kinds of counterfeit forms of Christianity. There was recently a state of theology survey done among evangelicals. 78% of evangelicals think that Jesus was the most important person created by God. Well, that's not even a Christian doctrine. That's a denial of who Christ is. You're not an evangelical. I don't know what you are.
If you enjoyed that clip, there's more to come. Simply by going to thetruthstand.org and clicking on podcast episode number 3. That is thetruthstand.org. All right, I am back, I am back. This is the Luminary, and you are immersed in the Truth Stand from Charlotte, North Carolina. This is your high-octane, truth-filled, monster energy drink. As said by my man Crucial, my man Matthew Slimer, appreciate the new tagline, homie, appreciate the new tagline. And Monster, if you're listening, your boy needs a sponsor. So, hey, jump on the Truth Stand. That is thetruthstand.org. I have so far done 6 full podcasts that I have posted every Sunday, but I've also done many podcasts, the Quickie Truth, the Truth Blitz, the Video Truth. I keep content coming and coming and coming because, quite frankly, I can't contain it all on one show. So listen, if you like it, you love it, you download it, you share it. Listen, like it, love it, download it, and share it. It is your energy drink. So I saw this article. I found this very fascinating. Doctor Strange director. So those are for you who like movies, who watch the Marvel movies, and so do I. But I don't know, after this, I may have to stop, because it's amazing to me what these people who have all this power and all of this ability to control your lives or to affect your lives, or they provide you with content, entertainment content. It surprises me sometimes what these people really believe, what they really think. But right now in this life, they feel so comfortable expressing it. Now, this troubling article from ChristianHeadlines.com, and there's several reasons why this article is troubling. Dr. Strange, director, Christians are the core problem in America. Scott Derrickson, who directed a couple movies that I never saw, says that American Christians have long loved their pop culture heroes. I have frustrated attempts to make me one because of this singular heartfelt conviction. In America, we Christians are not the solution. We are the core problem. Now, this dude claims to be a Christian. Now, what happens is that one person writes on Twitter. Now, this is another Christian. Now, this is the kind of brainwashing we Christians have to endure. This is the kind of stuff that we get told we're supposed to say in order for the world to like us. Listen to this guy.
I agree with your diagnosis, and I can appreciate the spirit of your resistance. Curious how you think those of us who are Christians, who want to help fix the problem, can best help turn the tide.
Are you serious? What kind of Christian are you? See, this is the one thing you don't do. You never buy the world's premise. They are the world. They're the unsaved. Of course we're the problem. Because we're the only ones that hold the truth of who they really are in the eyes of God and what they really are and what they need to do. And they don't want to hear it. The Bible is clear in John 3:18 that they reject Christ because they hate the light. And they do not want to be exposed for who they really are. That's why they hate you. Jesus said they hated me because, well, they hate you because they hated me first. Listen to this guy's response. This is Derrickson again, to this alleged Christian. It wouldn't surprise me if this guy wrote all this himself. But quote, we have to reject Christian nationalism. It's straight up heresy. Which, actually, that's true. We have to read the Gospels, which is true. Now, this is where it goes off the rails. This is where he gets all liberation theology and social justice warrior on me. Jesus was about aiding the poor, the judged, the sick, and the socially oppressed. Reckon with fear and racism. They are deceptively deep roots in American faith. And of course, this guy's a Presbyterian and attracted to the Catholic faith. So there you go. There you go. See, people, this is who really runs the world. This is what they really think. This guy doesn't think you're a Christian unless you subscribe to the social justice warrior mentality. And one of the things that they do is that they completely abuse scripture. They completely recharacterize what Jesus' role was when he came down here. They completely abuse it. But let me tell you what Jesus' true mission was down here on earth. Luke 4, starting at verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. That's what he came to do. He came to reveal the kingdom of heaven, to preach the gospel, and to preach salvation. He did not come here to change your life. He did not come here to resurrect you. He did not come here to end all the world's ills. When he talks about the poor, he's not always referring to people who don't have money. He's referring to people who are spiritually bankrupt, who are spiritually poor. If you read Matthew chapter 5, he talks about the poor in spirit. That's not people who think they're just poor, but they're not actually poor. No, these are people who are bankrupt without him. That's what Jesus came to do, Mr. Derrickson. And for this puny, pathetic other person that calls himself a Christian, well, what do? We are the problem. See, those are people who've been brainwashed into believing that the reason why people don't want Jesus is because of people like me. It's because of people like you who listen to my podcast. Because I know I have nothing but truth standards and truth warriors that listen to my podcast. People like us, we're the problem because we talk about God in an exclusive manner. We talk about the Lord Jesus as if he's the only thing that matters. We make judgments. We call sin, sin. And that's why we don't like you. And you need to bow to that so that we can start worshiping your God. And the truth is, these people don't want my God. They don't want your God. They want a God that's in their image. And stupid Christians like this guy, and I do mean stupid, stupid, fall for it. All right, that was my rant. This article here, Planned Parenthood. President makes clear that abortion is their core mission. Planned Parenthood's new president, Dr. Lena Wen, recently made it clear that abortion is the organization's main priority. She did an interview with a liberal outpost piece of garbage called BuzzFeed, where she said she wanted to focus on non-abortion healthcare options within Planned Parenthood. But when the article came out, she made it clear that abortion is the organization's core mission. Quote, "We will always be here to provide abortion access as part of the full spectrum of reproductive health care. It is who we are." Planned Parenthood president wants to focus on non-abortion health care. The doctor responded to the article's title on Twitter, writing, "I am always having to do interviews, but these headlines completely misconstrue my mission for Planned Parenthood." She continued, "First, our core mission is providing and protecting and expanding access to abortion and reproductive health care. We will never back down from that fight. It is a fundamental human right and to kill babies." Well, that wasn't her actual quote. She said, it's a fundamental human right and women's lives are at stake. Oh, but the baby's life don't mean a hill of beans, you murderer, you sick, twisted freak. Now, I told you I was going to be getting to Lauren Daigle, didn't I? And I sure will, as you heard in the beginning, that nice intro I put together. Y'all liked that, didn't you? This here from ChristianNews.net. Once again, my favorite Christian news website. ChristianNews.net. Lauren Daigle's fans disappointed after she wouldn't call herself a Christian artist in a secular interview. See, that's why I like the ChristianNews.net. They get right to the point. Now, she's been interviewed by this guy named Dave Styles of MyFM in Los Angeles. And she did not, in this entire interview, it's 20 minutes, it's posted on the website, talk about Jesus at all. All she talked about was herself and music. As far as your music, and this is the Dave Styles talking, "As far as your music, you are known as more of a Christian artist," to which Daigle nodded. "But now, with all this mainstream, I mean, you're here on our station. Mainstream, hot AC." In other words, you know what he's saying? Wait a minute, you're supposed to be a Christian artist, but you're here. See, even the world knows fake when they see it. Even the world knows something isn't right. I'll never forget, Joel Osteen had this big interview on 60 Minutes, which is a magazine or a weekly magazine show on CBS. And they had an interview with Joel Osteen, and the interviewer was incredulous with some of the answers Joel Osteen was giving, because even he knew that the things that Joel Osteen was saying wasn't biblical Christianity. Even he knew it. See, the world knows fake, people. The world knows fake. See, they persecute the real. But they know who fake is. They're the ones who invite you on their television programs. They invite you on their television shows and their radio shows. They're the ones who prop you up as being good and wholesome and wonderful and great. When after the world is propping you up, you got a problem. "What do you call yourself? How do you name yourself?" he asked. "Do you call yourself still a Christian artist, even in the mainstream? Or what do you call yourself?" This is Lauren Daigle responding. "I feel like those labels get put on you by other people. I was reading an article And one of them is like, she's a Christian artist. Another says she's just an artist. So I think part of me is just an artist because it encompasses everything. That's kind of how I see myself. Then Styles asks Daigle about her thoughts now that her music has crossed over. See, he even recognizes that's happened. Now, if it hadn't crossed over, don't you think she would have responded? She referred to the experience as a ride. While we were making the record, we were constantly in the state of studying the greats that came before, like Aretha Franklin, Roberta Flack, Andre Crouch, who was one of the first people to cross over, and Lauryn Hill. Lauryn Hill? Do you know the kind of crap Lauryn Hill believes? Lauryn Hill? Wikipedia is the stuff that she believes. I remember talking so much like, let's just make sure that we make music that we believe in, that's pure, true sound, and something that we love, and it will transcend wherever it's supposed to go. Spoken like an absolute liberal and a leftist. That's what happens when you're in Andy Stanley's church. But let's make sure that it's pure and authentic, and it's who we are. Let me tell you something. Music, or the gift that the Lord has given you, isn't about your self-expression. This stuff isn't about you when you're a Christian. When you're a Christian claiming that you're doing this for the Lord, which now I'm glad she claims she's not, because she hasn't been. But when you're a Christian, this is about him and him alone. The truth and truth alone.
Gotta keep it holy for real Christians only. Here's the definition of a liberal Christian. I'm not a Christian artist, I'm an artist that's a Christian. What you're really saying is that you're hoping that you're praying that these naive Christians don't catch you compromising. But you want the secular to think you're enterprising. You don't want the truth, you want to get the diamonds, the money, the juice, and the fame of being popular. But you still need the church just to validate you. And they won't say a thing because they were taught not to judge. But heretics with a humanistic view of love. But I know why you're zealous, you cats are just jealous of less talented women, the doves, and the Stellas. Well, maybe there's a reason that they were exalted. Maybe they were humble while you were exalted. You may have had a gift, but they were anointed. You may have had a call, but they were appointed. This right here must be done with reverence and fear. If you want self-expression, then get a new career. If you want the money, just renounce Christianity. While you half-step it, homie, just forget about eternity. And sign a contract with Jay-Z and P. Diddy. And go for your goals, just leave behind your soul. But don't you call it Christianity if it ain't set apart. Son, I just your fruit. I don't care about your heart.
I know that was hardcore. And I know for some of you, that's just too intense for you. But I'm sorry. That's the way I have to express it, okay? Because I am sick and tired of these people. Starting off in the church, getting their fame in the church, and then taking those same people into the mainstream, where there's no more emphasis on Christ. Well, if you listen to any of her music, there was never a real emphasis on Christ. There was never a real emphasis on the beauty of the Lord. There was never a real emphasis on songs that are being offered up as a sweet smelling savor and as a living sacrifice from a holy vessel, a person with unclean lips, but yet they've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus, giving up glories and hallelujahs and lifting up his name and magnifying him. You don't hear that from her. That song you say that's got the 49 million views on YouTube, all this talks about is how she thinks life stinks and how she thinks she's not good enough, but the Lord says I'm good enough, so everything's okie-dokie. Guess what? That's the kind of doctrine and kind of Christianity that all the world can engage in. Hey, God says I'm special and I can live my life how I live. Well, I'm going to glorify him because he says I'm special, so therefore, I don't have to do anything. There's nothing required from me. This is false teaching. And you know what? I was going to keep reading some articles from her. Not articles, some quotes from her. But you know what? I'm sick and tired of it. But I will let you know that in this article, there were many people on YouTube and other social media that had responses that were just, they did not like that she's doing what she's doing, and they were hurt by it. And they shouldn't have been, but regardless of that, I tell you what, let me read you some of quotes, and then I'm going to finish with a statement. One of the fans expresses, says, not one mention of Jesus Christ. This was your opportunity to give God the glory he deserves. But instead, you gave him no mention at all, but made it all about you.
so many opportunities to declare the gospel and connect Jesus to the masses. And she shot every single chance down. You know why? Because she was never going to do that, people. She wasn't there because she was going to preach the gospel. People, you got to understand, the reason why the world embraced her is because they already knew who she was. Okay, they marked her out. They sniffed her out. They paid her some money, told her to drop the gospel, and it was done. She was never going to share the gospel. She went on Ellen's show because Ellen knew she wasn't going to talk about the sin of homosexuality or even just the love of Jesus Christ and how we need to be saved. She knew that. And then people want to give Ellen all this credit for sticking up for Kevin Hart in that situation with Kevin Hart and the Oscars, when this same Ellen crucified Kim Burrell. So I don't want to hear that garbage. I remember Lauren Daigle was talking about, oh, Ellen is such a sweetheart. Yeah, was she a sweetheart with Kim Burrell? No, she wasn't. And I don't need to read anymore, but let me finish with a few thoughts here. And I kind of expressed most of them already. But in closing, this is why I don't listen to a lot of alleged Christian music anymore. Because most of it isn't about the gospel anymore. Most of it isn't about lifting up the name of Jesus. Most of it isn't about glorifying God. Most of it isn't written so that the world can see how beautiful God is and how ugly they are, but how precious His grace and mercy is so that they may believe. It's not written for that anymore. You used to have some true Christian artists who really, really, really came from the heart with their love for the Lord, and they said, let the chips fall where they may. And of course, they were never invited by the world because the world knew exactly where they stood. Lauren Daigle's feet are planted firmly in the air. Lecrae's feet planted firmly in the air. You, in the Pulpit and Pen guys, talked about several other Christian artists that got big, like Jars of Clay and Skillet and PLD and others. Toby Mac went that way. I mean, it's incredible. The Grits went that way. It's incredible, man. Because what you find out is this is what their real desires really are. This is what they really want to do. That's why I made that statement in the beginning of the podcast about why I do this. Let me tell you something. It would be the easiest thing in the world for me to do is to start talking about politics and social issues, to run around, find the hot button issue and give my commentary on it. Particularly as a black man, if I start talking about race, particularly from the perspective that I would talk about it all the time, I probably would start getting a following. What happens to people like Lauren Daigle is akin to me doing something like that. It comes in subtly. I start talking more Trump. I start talking more politics, more social stuff. I start embracing the Christianized nationalism. I start embracing politics and I start implementing that in my show subtly, subtly. Then I start doing it more and more and more. I start using those phrases in my tags so that the search engine optimization of Google will pick up. I'm talking about Donald Trump, Donald Trump. And guess what happens? More people will probably start clicking on it because of that. And guess what? I'm going to find an audience with that. And guess what's going to happen? More and more people will come. But then, you know what the Christian artists will say? Well, see, that's the trick. Now I'm going to give them the truth. But the problem is, you didn't bring them in with the truth. They didn't come for the truth. They came because they thought it was safe. What are you going to do when they come in? Oh, all of a sudden, now you're going to tell them that they're sinners going to hell? When nothing in your music and anything that you've said publicly has never said that before? Now that they're listening to you, oh, now you're going to give them the truth? Give me a break. Never happens. Because the same spirit that will cause you to want to say that to these people when you actually are having them as an audience should be the same spirit before they come to you. And it's like, if I started going down that route, and then next thing you know, half my show is politics, half of the spiritual things, next thing you know, 75% of it is politics, and before you know it, I'm full-blown social politics, and then sprinkling in a little God so that people could think it's still Christian. That's exactly what that's like.
And why would I be doing that? Because the real truth is, I would be wanting to quit my soul-crushing call center life. The real truth is, I'd be wanting to just be a podcaster and want to do this all my life. As you can hear my voice, I'm passionate. I love doing this. But guess what? I'm doing this for him. And if I never get a big following, big deal. He didn't allow that. People talk a lot about using gifts, using talents. But the Bible never emphasizes that. He talks about spiritual gifts, spiritual talents. Paul told Timothy to stir up the gift that is within you. His gift wasn't playing music. It wasn't singing songs. It was the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Word of God, but most importantly, the gift of the faith that's been given to him. Stir up that gift. And yes, you are to exercise your gift, but the gift that God is talking about is that which he implanted in you. Not necessarily the stuff that you do to make money or the stuff that you could do to entertain people or to have some sort of outward expression. That's all I have to say. You can chase a lot all over the world, but the truth, it stands where it stands. I am your host, the Luminary. Peace.
They think I'm cocky, others arrogant. I'm only 5'2", but in Christ I'm a giant. Bigger since the time since I found my new birth. Stronger than ever before, I hope you see my girth. My eternal spiritual worth and the Jesus within me. Got 25 demons running and screaming when they see me. My biceps filled with the Pauline concepts, and my triceps are filled with the righteous steps. So I'm ready for battle, no matter the storm. Victory is already mine and that's the norm. My fire is hot and it's scorches the impregnable fortress of a spiritual battle, and it's felt throughout the churches. Incredible inertia is sparking the preachers. Tap dancing on religion so the church can see the vision. We don't worship the Christ that died on the cross, only the resurrected Savior who saved the lost.
I have what I have because of who I am. I'm a soldier on the right of the great I am. I'm a king and a priest, I'm an heir to the throne. I'm a joiner with Christ that stands alone. No, I have what I have because of who I am. I'm a soldier on the right of the great I am. I'm a king and a priest, I'm an heir to the throne. I'm a joiner with Christ that stands alone.
I'm on top of this world, but I'm not a citizen. I'm an alien, so fun is not fun, it's just sin. Keep your mind open to death, but I think one way. Sin is still called sin, and that's God's way. I can really care less about what you possess.